This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. The YouTube live chat poll is grade Doge. We were talking a little bit about the grading scale just before we took that break here. A, B slash C, D or F. Ryan Wiggins, when you think of Doge and you're the teacher and you get your big red ink pen out, what grade are you putting on the top of the Doge term paper?
I do not hesitate to put an A on that paper because they are doing awesome. They are thinking outside the box. I think what we have to do as people who are in favor of this is try to be patient because this is going to take some time. They're going to throw every roadblock possible down. And yet, big picture, They're not stopping. This is the Snowpiercer train. They're just going to keep going right through any ice.
The what?
The Snowpiercer train.
What is that a reference to?
Snowpiercer, the movie.
Such.
Thank you, Brad.
I know the movie.
Thank you.
I just don't know that anyone else does.
It's a nonstop train. It does not stop no matter what gets in front of it, and that's Doge. And so we're just going to watch them keep barreling through all this stuff. And we're a month in, and then they've already done a lot. They're going to continue to do a lot, and Trump is keeping the pedal down. So,
well, this is completely shocking, but Ilhan Omar disagrees with you.
These people are just idiots. I'm at the point where it's become really hard to have an intellectual debate with any of these people because the level of stupidity that they are displaying every single day is frankly embarrassing, not just in Congress, but as Americans. And the fact that these people are allowed to say just the most ridiculous things tells you that the dumbing of the United States has arrived, because how else do we get a Trump presidency again?
Wow.
Well, I wonder how she feels.
Never mind. I changed my vote.
A plus.
You know what? We should invite her on the show to have an intellectual debate about it.
She can. She can come on the show.
Okay, great. Can I be a part of that? Because I would really like to just ask a couple questions.
We should book her and then I'll take that day off.
That'd be great. I'd do that. Because she just wants to have an intellectual conversation about cutting the cost of government. And apparently everybody she talks to is just complete idiots and doesn't get her.
I don't get marrying your brother.
I don't get that either. I wouldn't do it. And I have a brother.
I have a brother.
So it's not even hypothetical.
Would you marry my brother?
I don't know. Your brother's a cool guy, maybe.
Did he play for the football team? Wasn't he the quarterback?
When Ilhan Omar is just saying, you know, the reason Donald Trump won is because we've successfully dumbed down America enough, I just feel like that's even more indication that we're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's an indefensible position. Actually, past one layer.
She's not arguing policy. She's just like, they're real stupid. And there's enough of them that he got elected.
And we keep seeing this argument. This is the mainstream talking point of the weekend. It'll change, I'm sure. Which is, think of the people and their jobs. And you're like, I will. And I have. And I feel sorry for them losing their jobs. Not the ones who weren't doing any work, but the ones who were doing hard work. I feel bad for them. After that, then immediately after that one level, I start to think of all the other levels of how an economy works and how government work is just siphoning off money from other places. And immediately the argument becomes back to the original point, which is government should be small. Mm. Like, it's really easy.
Well, I can see why Ilhan Omar wants you to be stupid or looked at as stupid, because that's very detrimental to the Ilhan Omar way of doing business. I would like to see Ilhan Omar in the same room as Tom Holman. Here's him at CPAC.
Let me start out by saying this. If I offend anybody today, I don't give a Don't care. The media in the back room, I'm sure I'll be reading a lot of hit pieces on me tomorrow. I don't give a what you think about me. I get asked all the time, does it bother you? Is a big part of this country that hates your guts. I don't care. I don't care.
And it shows. That seems pretty legit. The way he handles his business is an IDGAF way of handling business. And it's funny to hear him go out there and say, yeah, I know you hate me. It fuels me.
I'm really glad that he specifically said to the media, because I think that CPAC probably was in support of him.
I wake up every day for the last 4 years off because the Dwight administration took the most secure border in my lifetime and unsecured it on purpose. Right? I worked for 6 presidents starting with Ronald Reagan. Every president I ever worked for took steps to secure the border. Even Clinton and Obama took steps to secure the border because they clearly understood you can't have national security without border security. They got it. Joe Biden's the first president in history of the nation who came into office and unsecured the border on purpose. So for 4 years, I wake up every day off. That changed November 5th. Now I wake up every day excited because I work for the greatest president of my lifetime, Donald J. Trump.
I've not really ever heard rally mode for Tom Holman, but I like it.
I haven't either. I like it, and I really think that if you had a good writer, not a hateful writer, a good comedy writer on Saturday Night Live, they could skewer him in a fantastic way.
How?
Because he's such a character. You know, he's kind of got that slur. He's got a coat. You know, his coat's kind of thrown around like he's Chris Farley
like
a little bit.
Like he doesn't give a crap.
Yeah. He would be a great character.
I don't think you can turn him into a character. I don't think you can turn him into a character that is funny.
That's why you need a good writer, not a hateful one.
Because what he's doing is pretty intense.
Sure.
In the midst of everything that is going on with this administration, you said you're an emphatic A with Doge. Brad, your thoughts on the grade that you would give Doge at this current point in time?
Yeah, I think I give them an emphatic A as well. They're just doing what they need to do, and it almost seems like they're about to push through the media, like the media is about to realize all of our outrage, all of our bluster about Elon Musk isn't really moving the needle, and they're going to move on, and then Doge is really going to be able to do some stuff because there won't be the people standing out in front of the Department of Education and be like, you can't come in here, and all this other stuff. I think that they're doing great. Go in there, root it out, get rid of it. It's going to hurt, but it's going to be like a Band-Aid. Just pull it off quick, and we'll get through it because it's something that we have to do for the good of the country.
Let us know what your vote is on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat. We've got a lot of comments coming in. Ryan, why don't you look through some of these comments here that have been starred, and you can feature some of these comments. We always appreciate getting your votes, of course, for the live chat poll, but it's nice when we can also include your thoughts on it by commenting on the YouTube live chat. Ryan, why don't you go ahead and tell us some of the thoughts from our listeners?
Sure. From Vicky, it says that she gives Doge a BC, too soon for an A, but headed in that direction. David says there was no A selection, so I had
A plus selection, so I had to
settle for just an A. Joe says Doge is hitting the target. Since Friday, my IG feed is nothing but Democrat anti-Doge target boycott videos. Meta has weighed in, and they are with the Dem money train. So he's saying there's been pushback from the algorithm now. Jackie says, cut and then repair. Doge gets an A from me. The work they've done within 30 days is more than I could ask for.
Jackie makes an important point. We've talked about this quite a bit, but it should be readdressed every single time we're discussing, like, oh, talk to us about the progress. It's been a month. It's been 1 month. And we've been able to see so much progress, so many promises made, promises kept, regarding what Donald Trump said he was going to do. Like, how have they been able to be so successful so quickly on following through? It's been an amazing thing to watch. Donald Trump speaking at CPAC this weekend, another amazing thing to watch. I love listening to him say here, I couldn't stand it.
I'll tell you, I had 4 years. I don't know if you had this. I couldn't stand it. Don't get angry. Donald, don't get angry, please. I couldn't stand it. Watching these people come in from jails and mental institutions and the worst criminals in the street, gang members being dropped off in buses and bussed into our country. I couldn't stand it. So I said, I'm going to run for president again. And now we don't have that problem. Now we don't have that problem anymore.
Isn't it great to hear him throw the emotion behind and pull back the curtain a little bit on what he was dealing with as the guy on the bench? Not even really on the bench. They took his uniform away. He was unable to participate. He knew all the plays. He knew what was going on. He knew what the opposition was doing. And he was relegated. And for him to talk about, like, it is something that the Joe Biden, Kamala Harris team would have loved to have said, I bet Donald Trump can't stand what's going on right now. That would have felt like a win for them. And he's admitting that he couldn't stand it. He couldn't stand sitting idly by, watching what was happening to this country to the point where he's like, fine, I have to run again.
That's why he resonates, because everybody was feeling this. And most politicians, it's not that they're disingenuous, it's just that they're not willing to let go and say, this really, really, can I say peed me off? I can't remember if that's FCC or not.
Yeah, you can say it.
Okay. Peed me off.
Well, I don't know. It depends on the context. Not that kind of show.
But he lets go. And he says, look, I was really mad. And you can tell that he's not just performing. Like, he's mad because we were mad because we couldn't do anything about the country being overrun by socialists.
Yep. And he went on.
On our first day in office, we declared a national emergency at our southern border after years of politicians using our military to defend foreign borders while leaving our country defenseless and helpless. We deployed a group of people, active duty troops, to defend our border and repel the invasion of our country. This was an invasion. You know, we had a great first term, a really great first term, and I called it an invasion. And we had great numbers, but now we have the best numbers we've ever had. We've never had numbers like this. We've done it all in 4 weeks. Think of it. That was Tom Homan, Kristi Noem, the whole group. When day one I ended the catch and release, I reinstated Remain in Mexico when I signed an order that will end birthright citizenship for the children of illegal aliens.
So he spoke to a lot of the things at CPAC that were very important to him on the campaign and promises that he made. And it's just wild to me that a month in, he can talk about things they've already done through on that.
That's amazing.
He doesn't even have his whole cabinet and everything confirmed yet. And he's already putting points on the board in a measurable, verifiable way to the people who voted for him. One of the other things that is incredibly interesting that developed over the course of this weekend is his latest appointment. This is from Donald Trump's True Social. Great news for law enforcement and American justice. Dan Bongino, a man of incredible love and passion for our country, has just been named the next deputy director of the FBI by the man who will be the best ever director, Kash Patel. Dan has a master's degree in psychology from CUNY and an MBA from Penn State. He was a member of the New York Police Department, New York's finest, a highly respected special agent with the United States Secret Service, and is now one of the most successful podcasters in the country. Something he is willing and prepared to give up in order to serve. Working with our great new United States Attorney General Pam Bondi and Director Patel, fairness, justice, law and order will be brought back to America and quickly. Congratulations, Dan. The contortions that the Ilhan Omars of the world are going to have to put themselves through in order to get through the day are comforting to me. Because if the furthest to the left among the Democratic Party are apoplectic about this, then I feel like it's the right way.
We started by reading comments. This one just came in. I want to read this from Steve.
Yeah.
It says, this happens in the private sector every year. Yeah. I work for a large company on the other side of the airport, locally. In the fall, they laid off 10% of the workforce across the board. I think there's a big shoulder. Like,
yeah, we
I'm
don't,
implying
we don't.
Here that he's going, yes, this is what happens.
This is what happens.
And he says, they get an A.
The private sector is the Thunderdome. It is it is rough. I've said this to you folks listening right now many times. I work in radio. We work in radio. We are a bottom line entity to the people who run this company, and we're very well aware of it. I've got to give you everything I have every day because I don't know, one of these days, it's going to be done. And then I'll have to go find someone else who wants to take us on or try to do it myself. We work really hard to be as available on this show everywhere that we possibly can. It's a lot of work and a lot of effort to try to make sure that we're reaching out through all of our social media capacities to try to develop relationships with you, because we know we have to be nimble, and we know that we, specifically on the Annie Fry Show, and I spent 9 years as the digital brand manager of 97.1 before I got this show, working hard on making a digital brand for the station. That position doesn't exist anymore. If I were still in that position, I'd be doing marketing and digital stuff for somebody else. Through the grace of God, I've been able to have this platform for 7 years, going on 7 years here, and I feel very passionate about it, and I have to put in not what they ask of me. I have to put in everything I have to it so that it is a top product. I don't get to mail it in. I can, but only for the period of time that they don't notice. Everybody in the private sector, in every industry, is always looking to cut and trim fat. We all know what that's like. We've never been insulated from that. And in fact, just because you get cut doesn't mean, it might mean that you were wildly productive to the point where you just cost too much and they decided they'd cut their losses anyway. Everybody who works in the private sector understands this reality. When people say get a good government job, what are they talking about? Security.
Yeah.
Stability. Because as we heard from Steve Moore at 105, it's hard to get fired from a government job. That doesn't mean that if you work for the government that you're providing no service. That doesn't mean that if you work for the government, you're not valuable. That doesn't mean if you're paid by tax dollars that you're a leech. We need all sorts of people who are funded by the taxpayer dollars. And I can think of lawyers, or not lawyers. I can think of law enforcement. I can think of lawyers to an extent that they're publicly funded. That's not entirely wrong. Law enforcement, people who are, caring for the public in that regard, educators to provide that education. So you have an educated public. These are all people who we need. People who maintain roads so that you can get to and from your job safely. Just to say you're working a government job in no way, shape, or form implies that you're not earning the dollar that you put in your checking account. But to think that those individuals should be pulled out of having to be vetted and assessed over the course of time. You shouldn't just be able to land the government job and never be able to lose your job. Why are you going to do a good job? With automatic raises that often get, you know, we always hear about when government jobs, when all of a sudden they put in a hiring freeze or a pay raise freeze. We always hear about that when it happens to government jobs. You want to talk about a pay raise? Like a predictable pay raise? I don't know people in radio who have ever enjoyed, by virtue of the calendar year has passed, you just get the cost of living increase.
That's not most jobs. I mean, maybe if you work for a really big company that's been successful for a very long time and they've implemented that. But I've worked for rapidly expanding companies. I've worked for rapidly contracting companies, sometimes the same company, in multiple different eras of my life. And one thing in common is you never really know. You learn to live. I'm sure everybody who's listening to this gets this. You learn to live with that uncertainty. In the government, they have never had that uncertainty.
Heidi says on here, wrong one. Sure, layoffs happen, but the celebratory attitude by everyone is really discouraging. Still give them a B or a C. So she's implying that, you know, people who are like dunking on, yeah, that's right, let them go, fire them. I think that there probably is some truth to what Heidi is saying here in forgetting the humanity of the people who are actually involved, who have become the frog in the pot over the course of time, that don't realize that their understanding of employment and existence in the business world is not the lived experience of everyone else. So maybe there's some public joy that is being communicated that is less than thoughtful. And I guess the difference there is the personal human connection that is not there anymore. And I would blame in large part the government's ability to have successfully disconnected us from our taxpayer dollars and where they get spent. So, Heidi, I again blame big government at the end of the day there. Quick break. When we come back, we'll get some more of your thoughts on this discussion. Plus, an interaction that took place this weekend that involves Ryan Wiggins that I heard about and has me highly concerned. And we haven't talked about it yet, but I thought that it would be best to do it publicly on the air.
I was, too, going to bring this up because I'm concerned.
We'll discuss when we come back. She'd be
standing next to me. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. YouTube live chat poll on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, youtube.com/@AnnieFry. Go vote and tell us your grade for Doge. Excuse me, A, B, C, D, or F. Let us know how you think that they are doing. We'll get to some of your comments before we wrap it up with the results, probably with Ethan, in about 20 minutes from now. I was talking to my parents this weekend.
That's interesting. Me too.
That's the problem. I was not there to supervise said engagement. Maybe you should tell me what you were doing spending time with my mom and my dad. I know how you and my dad have this, like, really proud son thing going on.
I've told you this before, but I don't like talking about it a lot because it embarrasses you. But you're...
By virtue of what change? I don't think so.
Look, your parents and I, we get along really well. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, I shouldn't even say sometimes, a lot, we hang out. And I think the last time we talked about this maybe was right before Christmas because we were talking about our Christmas plans that I don't, well, you weren't there. So not at your guys' family Christmas, just like hangouts. And this was one of those. I didn't know that they would go report this to you because this is the kind of thing that I...
It just kind of came up.
I genuinely try to keep from you.
Hmm.
But yeah, we were just watching a little b-ball this weekend. Hanging out,
shooting
relaxing,
b-ball outside school.
Relaxing, all cool.
Yeah, you know my mom and dad.
Yeah,
they're
big Will Smith fans.
Hip to the beat. What did you talk about with my parents?
I don't know, just politics a little bit, life. Yeah, we talked about our kids. I mean, it's just the typical stuff.
You talked about
the kids. Yeah.
Did they talk about their kids?
Yeah, not you, but other kids, grandkids. You know, I didn't talk about my grandkids because I'm too young and vibrant, but...
Unlike them?
No, they're very vibrant. I'm just young and vibrant. They're older than me.
Go on. I'm trying to screw up your relationship.
No, don't.
So you're saying they're old.
No, they're older than me and wiser.
And stale?
So I seek them out.
You said they were old and stale?
I seek them out for, you know, sage wisdom, which both of them have.
Who, my mom or my dad?
Both of them. Sometimes I'll ask, I'll just throw out a question, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say, you know, what genus is this plant?
And my dad
and
says...
I don't ever know, and your mom will usually answer that question.
Green.
Yeah. And then I'll say, you know, how long was the War of 1812? And your dad answers. Just stuff. Like, just stuff that comes up, you know? And it's just great to have that kind of relationship with the generation above you. And I do put them above me, if you were asking. I sent you a picture in your email.
I saw it.
Did you?
I'm debating sharing it.
You can if you want to. I look kind of fat in it, but that's okay.
I'll share it right now.
Okay.
Yeah, you do. Just kidding.
I'm wearing a hoodie. It's kind of pouched out.
So I'm just going to put it up here on the live stream like this. My brother's back there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't talk as much to him because I wasn't sitting right
next to him. Well, he doesn't like you.
No?
No. He doesn't like the way you treat me.
Really? No, I don't think that's true.
I think he loves it.
I think he probably likes me more.
I think he's paying you.
Yeah. Well, he was sitting on the other side of them, so I didn't talk to him as much. But it was funny because we were just, you know, just there hanging out, and my kids were going to get chips. And, you know, we're just like living life, you know? I can't tell you there was anything super interesting that happened, but that's... I'm not going to tell you every story about when I go out with my guy friends either, because sometimes you're just hanging out, and that's what we were doing. You know, so there's nothing really to report. I wasn't going to report on it, but...
Your son was playing my nephew at Upward Basketball.
Yep, they were guarding each other in the first period.
My dad said that your son has a move down pat.
He's got one move.
It's the classic Upward 8 or 9 year old. How old are they?
Seven.
7 year old. Classic 7 year old Upward. I remember this because Charlie played Upward. You get the ball somewhere near the basket and you just start dribbling backwards.
Yep, with your butt out.
Until you get to close the basket. And they said he's very good at just turning around and making that little shot.
Yeah, I don't think he made a whole bunch, but he's good at... I don't think this is a planned move. That's what's funny about it.
He knows
just start
to go to the basket.
And then realize, oh no, if I dribble out in front of myself, they're going to steal it. So he just turns around. And then he just starts walking backwards until he gets close enough to the basket.
Yeah.
Or the wave of people, like the Red Sea, just starts to kind of collapse around him. And then he realizes, oh, I've gotten far enough. Now I have to turn and shoot. So he's gotten... I think he had one or two baskets.
The way I understood it, my brother was like, is that Ryan Wiggins sitting next to you? And so I wonder what kind of obnoxious thing you did to tip their radar. I didn't get to ask that question. Did you know you were next to them? Because you were literally, weren't you literally sitting next to each other at this game?
Yes. Like nobody between us.
Like next to each other.
Right next to each other.
Just by happenstance.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty funny. And then your mom turns and goes, hey. And it took me about a second and a half.
Hey.
Oh. Hey.
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
How far into the game, into the event were you, percentage-wise?
It was still either right before or during the first period. It was.
So you got to spend the whole game together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you talk?
Yeah. We had a good time.
Again, you've made that part clear.
We talked about gardening.
No, you didn't.
We talked about history.
See, what else do you know about my parents? You've made that part clear, too.
We talked about
Christmas. You said Janus in the War of 1812. What else do you know about my parents?
We talked about Lutheran doctrine. Like, extensively.
I'm surprised that you're not still there talking.
It was in a Baptist church.
Yeah, I know. It's the best place to talk about Lutheran doctrine, if you ask me.
We did talk a little bit about chips. Yeah, because my kids were...
Like computer or Doritos?
No, Dorito. Okay. Well, not Dorito. I think they were the little veggie fries, actually. So.
Gross.
I know. We did talk a little bit about that. Gosh, what didn't we talk about is probably a better question.
All right. Well, I'm happy that you had that time together.
Yeah, me too. But it's just hanging out.
Like, I think you guys also played each other in baseball once.
If that's true, that was when I saw you at a baseball game, though. At a T-ball game.
I don't remember seeing you. Did I?
I don't know if you saw me, but I
saw
you.
Was it in Maryville?
Yeah, I was in Maryville, okay. And I remember... I thought I waved at you.
Seeing people out in the wild. Do you behave differently at your kids' games because you're afraid people will recognize you and associate Dad Ryan Wiggins with... whatever this is.
No. No,
it's
I
all
don't.
The same?
It's all the same.
Do people hear your voice and recognize your voice?
Once in a while. But if
what's the immediate reaction?
That's why
after
I
that?
Yell more at games, because when I yell, I sound different. I don't yell on the radio that much. But if I'm at a game, I can yell like, get your act together.
I think you say something else. Especially at Upward.
Uh-huh.
Those Baptists.
Uh-huh.
Do you yell at your 7-year-old's Upward basketball game? I'm gonna ask for verification, so
yes,
don't lie.
I yell when one thing happens, if he scores.
And what do you do? What's it look like?
I yell, about time. No, I think I just cheer. We just cheer, you know? Like, there's only a few baskets a game that he's going to score. I think he scored 4 or 5 one game. That was like, wow, that was unbelievable. Usually it's 1 or 2. And so when he scores, assuming he does score, it's like, oh my gosh, in the full hour that we're here to watch, that was the moment, and we all cheer.
I am outlining, I'm thinking about writing a book, and I'm going to write it about youth sports and about parents in youth sports. And I'm going to highlight all the different kinds of parents that people can be. And I think the interesting thing about it is that one individual person can be 5 or 6 different kinds of parents, depending on the circumstances. How would you define yourself? What's the leading factor for Ryan Wiggins, dad, fan? Have you ever coached?
Yeah, but I don't think I was the head coach.
You don't think?
Well, I wasn't technically the head coach, but the head coach didn't do much, so...
So you weren't the head coach?
I wasn't.
So you undermined him?
I was just trying to help.
That's the line.
Well, it was a she.
How would you define yourself as a parent of a student athlete? And you can include your older son who plays more competitively than 7-year-old Upward basketball.
I would describe myself as a drinker.
Oh.
Because it's a good time, you know? Like, we show up, you party a little bit, have a couple drinks, and you go home.
I've never seen you have a couple drinks. You have a couple sips, and it's enough.
Yeah, that's why it's a good time.
That's also why that's not true. How would you define yourself?
I don't even know.
You don't know?
What are the classifications that you're going to put in your book?
Are you collected? Are you calm? Do you find yourself having to tell yourself to tone it down a little bit?
I used to. Anymore, I don't as much. I used to have to tell myself...
You had to grow into it.
Chill out. Yeah. Because when I remember watching that first game, man, I was like, I can't believe what came over me as a parent. I didn't know that I had that in me because I was so excited to watch my son play soccer.
Yeah.
And so then it grew into like ultra competitiveness that I was like, whoa, I got to chill out a little bit. I've never been thrown out of a game or anything, but I used to bark from the sidelines once in a while, not usually at the refs, usually at something else that was going on. I remember the one time that I really got chastised by a ref was that there was a bunch of kids playing on a field next to ours and they were practicing and they just kept kicking the ball into our game over and over and over. Like after once or twice, you'd think, well, we just move or do something.
Just kick it away.
You know, no, I didn't do anything. I finally yelled out like something about you guys need to move or something like that. And the ref pointed at me and he's like, you need to chill. And I'm like, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing with you, ref. You are telling them that. So that was the one time that I was like, I just don't even like these stupid interactions. People are all hyped up.
People are super hyped up.
So I try to chill out, but I'm still pretty competitive.
Yeah. I think it's I've got a whole lot to say about youth sports as per our conversations here on the air. I've talked a lot about it, but Upward is about as good as it gets for introduction.
What did your parents think about our hangout?
They were excited to see you, and I didn't really ask them for much more details.
They weren't supposed to tell you. Do you know that? I told them, don't tell Annie.
You were going to tell me on the air?
I was going to tell you today. I was going to send you that picture and just be like, look what I was doing this weekend.
Did you tell my brother that? Maybe my brother's the one who told me.
I didn't tell him.
Maybe he's the one who told me.
He probably did.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to the results of today's YouTube live chat poll. A, B, slash, C, D, or F. What's your grade for Doge? We want to hear from you. We'll read some of those comments as well. Don't go away. We'll be right back. And you jerk it out. Something here real quick before we get to the results of the YouTube live chat poll. You worked last week on some anti-American Idol stuff, right? What goes into your mind when you're putting something together like that?
Well, the first thing is, what type of song is this? Because when I hear a protest song, first I want to hear the message, and then I want to analyze the attempt, because there's no musicians there backing them, so they just decide, I'm going to write verse and chorus, sometimes multiple verses and chorus, and they're going to sing this song. And so I'm trying to capture what the background music is that's in their head.
It's time
for Anti-American Idol.
Is that AI?
No, well, the voices?
Yeah. For Anti-American Idol.
Uh-huh. So you got to clip them together like that.
Yeah, I have two clips here. Which one do I want?
You want the original first, because I don't know that anybody's heard the original.
The video?
Yeah.
One? I'm not going to play the video, but we'll dip into this a little bit here. This is the latest installation in protesting.
Keep on moving forward.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Keep on moving forward.
Tone is better.
Keep on moving forward. Never turning back. Never turning back.
Okay, that's 22 seconds, and the clip is 2:32.
It's long.
I'm not going.
The guy just goes and goes and goes.
I'm not. I mean, let's just go around. We can give up to 5 stars for this message here by this leftist protester. We're going to keep them moving forward, never turning back, which is what they said when Kamala Harris, we're not going back. They promised that they weren't going back, and they made the right decision, and we elected Donald Trump. So I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going forward.
Tone? Melody?
I would say strong. Yeah, I actually thought he came up with a memorable hook here. It's not quite as memorable as the last one, which I also can't remember right now.
I think I heard,
stuck I heard in my head.
3 times, separate times this weekend, from people in my house or people I was around. Which side are you
which
on?
There it is. Which side are you on?
It doesn't end. It's a sticky one.
No, that one, the lady couldn't sing, but it's still a hook. And this one also has a good hook, but he's a better singer.
Well, and also the which side are you on? The protest was terrible. But then we have our listener who rewrote it and performed it on his guitar and turned it into something that I don't mind hearing in my head, which I appreciate because it kind of overlaid the original protester creep that I had in my head.
That was TJ. TJ did that.
So out of 5 stars, anti-American Idol, this one gets how many?
Oh, I'm going to say a zero because the message is terrible.
Okay.
And but though also, the message is universal enough that you really don't get anything across because when you're singing it, you could be singing about anything.
That's true. I mean, there's a lot there.
Stop the fascists now. Stop the fascists now.
Passion. Dedication.
Yeah, fashion.
Stop the fascists now.
Fashion now.
Never turning back.
Ooh. And now down.
Never turning back.
This is what?
Send them all to Mars.
Send them all to Mars.
I just randomly clicked on the floor.
It would be great if he actually was singing about fashion and he was just dressed in very plain clothes.
Okay.
Like, stop the fashion now.
Fascist.
Yeah.
Zero stars.
Zero stars.
From Ryan Wiggins. Maybe we found our Simon Cowell. Brad.
I mean, he's a better singer, but that song is not the earworm that the first song was. So I'm going to give it half a star.
Shelly, on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll, can you go ahead and read Shelly's comment there for us, Ryan?
From stop. Because there are lots of P's.
And Captain says...
Ah, my ears, because there are lots of A's.
Yeah. And Chris says...
Mute.
Okay. I'm going to give him a one star.
Okay.
For... melody, discernible melody.
Okay.
That's about it. No, not really any creativity because there was that one little verse, the one little melody in there, and they were really committed to it, but it's 2.5 minutes.
Ethan just said he wants to give them a 5-star for the number of hotels that they keep illegal aliens in.
Ethan. Should I play Cut 22 here?
Ethan did not say that. I don't want to be mean to him.
I thought you were giving him too much credit. 22, Cut 22 on here?
I don't know.
Never Turning Back, a ballad?
Yes. Yeah, so here's what I did with this
one. So Ryan took it a step further. This reminds me of Anna Gasteyer and Will Ferrell in that SNL skit with the keyboard.
It's really hard to keep them on beat. If I kept going, it would have just gotten old.
I think that the floor dropped out. I think they just disappeared at the end there. Like, nope.
Trap door in the road.
I'm going to say anti-American Idol, Judge Myself. While the effort was really put into that remake, I'm going to give you, Ryan Wiggins, 0 stars.
Oh,
I'm going to
take
it down one because that was terrible.
Oh, but what if I went longer? No? Maybe some time changes in there or something?
I don't know. Just like a beat that was consistent with the song.
With the person clapping.
But I will say with the effort, maybe like a quarter star, because I do know that you struggled mightily. And
I did.
Spent more time trying to come up with something that you pretty much quit when that was the last thing you
tried. It would be easy to just sort of every time put dubstep under it. Which
that
is
was
what
my
I did with
suggestion.
The first one.
I go, just find a beat.
No. You gotta lean into what they're thinking.
I said, just find a beat, keep it simple, do that. And he's like, how about a ballad?
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's your time. You do whatever. Ethan, the results to today's YouTube live chat poll?
290 votes. Ooh. On today's YouTube live chat poll, which asks you, the listener, to grade Doge A, B, C, D,
Ryan,
or F.
You were
A.
Brad?
A.
Annie, A. Ethan, do you have thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm an A. The
A.
Liberals are mad, so they're doing something right. So, okay, here are the results. We'll start from lowest to highest. 2% for D, 4% for F, 23% to B/C, and an overwhelming 71% give Doge an A.
Yeah, 291 votes on this. It just ticked up here. We might get to 300 before I end it in about 2 minutes. If you want to go vote, be heard, you can go throw one in there. Thank you for listening to the Annie Fry Show today. A reminder, you can can listen to the podcast at anniefryshow.com/podcast or keep it right here on the Odyssey app. You can check the podcast out there and keep it on the Odyssey app for the Mark Reardon Show coming next. So beat the
drum with me. You have 3X.